Welcome back to the Career Explorers. It's the series where we help the prospective career seeker find out about a day in the life in the job and see if it's for you. So, maybe you have a strong sense of justice and right and wrong. Maybe you like keeping people safe and abiding by the law and pick up a paycheck for doing it. What could be better than that? Well, you're already ticking off quite a few boxes on the application there to work in law enforcement. And today on the show, we're talking to Sergeant Christopher Crespo and Lieutenant Warren Brooks as our information specialists today. And I want to thank both of you gentlemen for coming into the show.
Quite welcome. Thanks for having
us.
Thank
you for having us.
Can you both tell me a little bit about your personal journeys into law enforcement? How did you both get into police work?
Well, I started my career a little late. I started in 2002. I relocated from New Jersey with my family, moved to Maryland.
Okay.
And I was like looking for a good career with good benefits and a good retirement plan. So I applied for the sheriff's office, and 22 years later, here I am.
And there you are. How about you, sir?
So I'm originally from Baltimore, but I finished high school in New Jersey when my family moved.
Okay.
Went to college up there and started working in juvenile corrections. Became familiar with law enforcement officers through juvenile corrections. Thought it was a career I might want to seek. At the same time, considering moving back to Baltimore. So started looking for law enforcement careers back in the Baltimore area.
Any family in law enforcement also?
My dad was in law enforcement. My sister is a retired sergeant from Morgan State University Police. My brother's a retired sergeant from Baltimore City School Police. And my brother-in-law is a sergeant for the city of Bowie.
So law enforcement kind of runs in the blood, right?
Indeed it does, yes.
Working in law enforcement, it's just like any other job. It requires you to really take those first steps. And what does that look like maybe to someone who's in high school or in college? How do they begin a career track into the law enforcement profession?
For a high school kid, I would say the first part of the track is to try to stay out of as much trouble as possible.
Okay.
You definitely want your background investigation to go smooth. But outside of that, depending on what high school you're in Harford County, I know they have the Homeland Security program at Joppatowne High School.
Okay.
We also have an Explorer program that they can join in ninth grade. Sergeant Crespo is embedded in the Explorer program, so he can tell you more about that. But they get some experience our side of law enforcement through the Explorer program. If they don't have access to an Explorer program, there's volunteer work that they could possibly do depending on where they are. Some agencies have volunteer work that they can come in and get to learn the agency and officers in the agency. But you want to go more into the Explorer program?
Yeah, please tell me a little bit more about the Explorers program.
So with our Explorers program, they start at the age of 14, 15.
Okay.
When they're in high school, and then they could max out or age out at the age of 21.
Okay.
Our Explorer program, we meet the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday at the Harford County Sheriff's Office, Southern Precinct. And there we'll have different guests come in. One week we might have canine. Next week, the next meeting would be like defensive tactics, anything that the agency has. And then we would there, it would allow the explorers to decide if they're going to pursue that career as becoming law enforcement. The program has worked because some of those that were in the Explorer program then became cadets. And then from cadets, by the time they're 20 and a half, that will allow them to enter the academy, which is 6 months.
Wow. So literally the Explorers program, it's giving young people kind of like that showcase into the law enforcement profession, right?
That is correct. And then throughout the year that we meet with the Explorers, we also do competitions. We work with other agencies. And then we'll go to a national conference. And then when it's not a national conference, we normally go up to York College. And then we'll do a tri-state area competition. And then there they will learn how to do a car stop, how to talk to individuals, you know, crime scene preservation. So it gives them that, at that early stage, what it's actually like to work in law enforcement or to work in the sheriff's office. And then from there, they'll keep growing.
So it really gives them a window
Yes.
Into a day in the life. And that's really one of my questions here. Talk to me a little bit, and this is for both of you. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like to just kind of have an average day working in law enforcement, because I think that's one of the things that people really want, is they kind of want a window into that profession, you know, especially when they're thinking about transitioning or trying it for the first time.
So this is going to sound, I guess, kind of cliche, but there is no average day in the life of law enforcement.
All right.
And I say every day is different. And, you know, it's not just a saying, it's the truth. When I did work in patrol, there were days when I would come in and I would be running from call to call the entire shift.
Wow.
And then there would be days I would come in and I may only have two or three calls for the shift. So it all depends on the day. But I can say that the calls range from anything from
a well-being check.
Yeah, check the well-being on somebody that a family member or friends haven't heard from in a while, all the way to maybe a major assault and anything in between, you know. Traffic stops, lost persons, it could be anything. So there's no average day. It's just a lot of different experiences that you can come across within your career. There are some experiences that I've had in my career that some people haven't experienced and may not. And there's some experiences that other people have had in this profession that I haven't experienced, and some of them hopefully will not by the time my career is done. So it's just a broad array of events that you can come across.
Wow. So if you like variety in a job, then this might be for you.
Or the unknown.
Or the unknown. Yeah, the unknown. There you
right.
go.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's... At the end of the day, it's rewarding knowing what you're doing is making a difference. Even if it's the smallest difference, it can be rewarding.
Absolutely. And one of my big questions is, here at Hartford Community College, you know, we center around learning. So tell me a little bit about what it really takes to make the grade as a law enforcement professional.
So usually that the process is, like, to become a sheriff's deputy, you have to do a written exam. Pass the exam, 70 or better. Then after that, you're assigned to a background investigator, which is then they're going to review your past lifestyle history, go over any concerns they might have or things that, you know, that didn't look too good or that looks good. And then from there, you'll go in front of an oral board. And then the oral board is usually of a rank of a lieutenant, a sergeant, a corporal, and a deputy first class. And then there, they're going to review your background booklet and ask you additional questions, like who's the sheriff, what do you know about the sheriff's office, the work schedule, because we have a unique work schedule. Most of the deputies work 4 days on, 2 days off.
Okay.
And then it rotates. Yeah. And then you also have to work weekends, holidays. So that's something you have to take in consideration.
No days off for Christmas. Oh.
Depends on your rotation. So.
Okay.
But then, you know, if someone wants a day off on a holiday or something, of course, you know, you could work that out with the supervisors. Once you pass that background investigation, then you have to go through a polygraph and then a psych. And then the last person you will meet is with Sheriff Gaylor.
Okay.
And then you come on the board once they approve you. And then actually we have the training academy here at Hartford Community College. So for law enforcement, it's a 6-month academy, and there they detail phys ed in the morning, certain days, and then they'll teach you how to march, how to salute, because we are a paramilitary organization with a rank structure. And then throughout the day, you go through different lesson plans. Some might be defense tactics, OC pepper spray, how to use a taser, and then you got to go over laws. Different types of laws, Fourth Amendment, you know, different types, because you're dealing with the public, and you also have to know their rights and what is our rights when you're dealing with public. But the biggest thing, working with the sheriff's office, 90% of your job is about how you communicate with the people.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that, because you're dealing with different nationalities, different people. You're dealing with young people, the elderly, the young, those that are mental health crisis. So through the academy, they're going to teach you the fundamentals, how to communicate, how to write, how to testify in court, you know, crime scene preservation. You know, if you do roll up to a crime scene, someone committed suicide, how do you preserve that scene?
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that. But so there's so much training that goes involved, and it's not just only through the academy, but once you graduate, there's other things you could do within the agency. You know, there's our special response team, which is a SWAT unit. There's warrant units.
Canine.
Drone units. So it's not just only patrolling. It's just different units that you could apply to and make that career work for you.
Drone units.
Yes.
That's something. There's technology right there. And, you know, something that the both of you talked to me about before we started the interview, and I didn't think about, there are different applications. Of course, criminal justice is always a great degree and a background to have when working in law enforcement. But you talked to me about psychology degrees, IT degrees. These are things that I didn't think of, but they could also be applied to the sheriff's office.
Absolutely. Social science degrees. All of those play a part now, because law enforcement has changed over the years, and it's going to continue to change as time goes on. So, for instance, we have an electronic services unit. They put all of the computers into the cars, and there are deputies that work in that unit. So they have to be well-read on how to install electronics, how the electronics work. Sometimes we'll get new recruits that come in, and they have a background maybe in electronics. Maybe it was a kid that used to put his own stereos in his car.
Right.
Or maybe they installed stereos at Best Buy. But they have that knowledge. So it'll help them later in their career. If there's a chance to go to that unit, they have the knowledge to put the work in to go to that unit. And then just dealing with individuals on the street every day. If you have a background, psychology, sociology, any of those social sciences, that'll help you out in being able to communicate with individuals on the street, maybe kind of understand where they're coming from. We talked about, you know, the emotional intelligence, social intelligence aspect of the job. So pretty much any degree to an extent will be helpful in this career.
Social intelligence, emotional intelligence, because yes. I imagine you're in situations sometimes where you have to kind of make those split-second decisions. So you really do have to have both skills. And as far as that leads me to my next question, of course, life skills, you know, social intelligence, emotional intelligence.
There's certain attributes that a person should have outside of just the life skills, but like integrity, certain morals and values that'll come up in your background because they will talk to neighbors, they'll talk to friends and coworkers, former coworkers. But pretty much, if you think of a life skill, I can probably tell you how it would apply to the job.
Another big part of career explorers are people listening that are in jobs now, and maybe they just feel it's not a right fit for them, right? And maybe they're thinking about transitioning. So talk to me a little bit about how possible that is for someone maybe looking to make a career change into law enforcement. Like, what kind of factors would you say are at play?
So I think I'm good at that.
Okay.
Because like I said, I started late in my career.
Okay.
Relocating from New Jersey, I had to start somewhere new. I worked in the private sector. I actually worked for a company that dealt with the stock market. So I did that for several years. So moving after 9/11, coming down,
right.
I needed a different career. So when I applied for the sheriff's office, I was 31 at the time. So it's a little late in a career looking for, but anything's possible.
Okay.
You just have to set your goals onto what you want. So moving down here, we moved to Bel Air at the time. I applied for the sheriff's office. In the meantime, I took an odd job working at a dealership, you know, just to learn how they sell cars. And then once I got the call, that they were offering me the job after the background investigation and everything, I took the job. And I've been with the agency now 22 years.
Wow.
So, and what's good is I think things work out at the end. So it's never too late to change a career. We do have individuals that start as age 18, and then they'll go into law enforcement academy at the age of 20 and a half. That way, by the time they're 21, they're covered federally also with the laws. But we also have individuals, you know, mid-40s, mid-50s that do apply because they're looking at benefits also. You know, we have one of the best benefits in the state.
Wow.
Working for the sheriff's office. And a lot of people don't realize that. It's not about money. It's also about your retirement. You know, you want to get to that point where you can retire comfortably, have a good pension, a good health care benefits.
So you're taking care of people and the state is taking care of you at the same time. So you want to be able to make sure that you have that balance of work mm-hmm. and life.
And to add on to what Sergeant Crespo was saying, so he and I do a lot of recruitment for the agency. And when I do come across that person at a job fair or just talking to people in passing, as my wife says, I talk to everyone. So, but I tell people not to just look at the salary that you're leaving and the salary that you're coming from. There's other factors involved. What are you paying for healthcare where you are now compared to what you're going to pay for healthcare for where you're looking to come to? There was a guy who worked in D.C. He was looking at a civilian job with us, and he talked about how much the pay cut was. So I sat and talked to him. I said, how much are you spending in gas each month to go to D.C.?
Sure.
How much are you spending in tolls each month and wear and tear in your car on top of what you're paying for your health care? Now, subtract that from the salary you're getting in D.C., how far off are you? And it was like a $2,000 difference.
Wow.
So when you look, you have to look past just the surface of what you're leaving and what you're coming to, and look at, like Sergeant Crespo said, the retirement. What's your retirement looking like where you are based on where you want to come? What's the work environment like? Is it a family atmosphere? You know, is it a welcoming atmosphere, or is it someplace that you dread going every day?
Exactly.
So there's a lot that goes into someone looking to actually change careers that I think that they should look at when making that decision.
I totally agree with you on that. And that brings me to my next question, of course. So it sounds like there's some pretty good benefits and perks working in law enforcement in the sheriff's office. So, and people always want to know this, you know, because especially if you take a leap of faith and you go into a job for the first time, you know, of course you want to do your research, but about how on average, what am I going to make? People always want to know, can I support myself? I mean, I've been to the grocery store lately, you know, for five items, I was almost at $90 and I was flabbergasted. And students ask us this all the time, you know, what am I going to make? You know, so talk to me just a little bit. What can I expect to make just starting out in the role?
So we have a website.
Okay.
HartfordSheriff.org. So people that are interested can go to that website. There's a link which would tell you what you need to do, the applications, and then it also has the starting salary. So for law enforcement now, we're starting at $64,397.
Wow.
That's a lot of money for a young person. A person that's 20 years old, 21 years old, making $64,000 to start.
That's really good.
And that's only when you're entering. So then once you get past your first year, then you go up to $66,290. And then after 2 years, you're at $71,677.
That's really good. That's really good.
And then on the other side for corrections.
Because a lot of people don't know that the sheriff's office does both full-time law enforcement service, and we also have a corrections side.
You only have to be 18 to start.
18 to start there.
Okay.
We're currently starting there at $54,101. And then, of course, after your probation, you'll be up to $56,805.
Still not bad.
And then not to include your yearly raises that you get through Sheriff Gaylor, that he makes sure we're competitive with other agencies, which is very good. So
that is very good.
And on top of the salary, we have shift differential pay. So if you work 4 in the afternoon to midnight, you get an additional 7% for 4 to 12. And if you work midnight, you get an additional 10% on top of your salary.
Okay.
So that's also a pretty good benefit. But while we're on the salary, and I really, really want to go into the correction side. We have a lot of kids, 18, 19, that are good kids, just don't know what they want to do. I got a call from a parent. Her son is in his first year of college. He called her up and said, hey, Mom, college really isn't for me. What are some options? She called me. Sergeant Crespo gave him a tour of the detention center, and he ended up applying to the detention center. To make that type of money at 18, 19, even 20 years old, and then right now we have tuition reimbursement. So if that kid decides, hey, maybe I do want to work on my associate's or my bachelor's degree, he can go through the process with the agency for approval to get tuition reimbursement for whatever it is that they would like to study. It doesn't necessarily have to be criminal justice, as we discussed before about how different degrees can assist you in this workforce. My neighbor who works at the detention center, talked to him and his mom, took a couple of conversations and explaining how things work. I'm not sure if they did a tour or not, but he's been out there for about 2 years now.
Just about.
For about 2 years now. And he's doing really well.
Wow.
For, I think he's 22 years old. So he's been out there since he was 20. So it's definitely our corrections facility. When you walk into that building, you can see the pride that those deputies take in that building. And I work on the law enforcement side, but I know because of conversations I've had and remarks I've heard through talking through people in the recruitment process. And I know that there's been times where other correctional facilities have dropped people off at the detention center and remarked on how clean the facility is. Sergeant Crespo does the tours for recruitment for us. And I've gotten several emails after the tour of people saying, hey, I'm ready to apply. And I send them the link, the direct link to the application. But a lot of times once people get the tour and see the building and see what it's actually like and see that it's not jail on television, they're sold. And most of them have a pretty decent career when they get out there.
A lot of people are amazed. And then a lot of people in the county didn't realize we had a detention center facility. What's unique about the detention center facility is that we're only holding the inmates up to 18 months.
Okay.
It's not like a state facility where you're dealing with lifers. So it's a good thing that we have the tours. Once again, Sheriff Gaylor is not afraid to open his doors and show people, especially if you're going to work in that environment. Corrections is not for everyone.
Right.
But there's room for advancement. And when they see the outside of the facility, and then they go on the inside, they're amazed because the sheriff and the warden take pride. And when they take pride and they invest in your employees, you have a good working facility. It's clean. We have other people that come from other agencies and want to work for us,
wow,
either in corrections or law enforcement. Because like Lieutenant Brooks said earlier, we're not friends. We're family.
Wow.
And people will see that, and then the community sees it as to us also, and that's why the community takes care of us, you know.
So it sounds like, and you just answered one of my questions right there without me even asking, there's room for people to apply within different roles within the sheriff's department.
Yes.
You can move around. You can either work in detention, you can work on law enforcement, you can in canine, working with animals too if you enjoy working with animals.
Well,
there,
speaking
you go
of that, we also have animal control falls under the sheriff's office.
Animal control does?
Yes. Animal control a few years ago was shifted over to the sheriff's office. So the entire animal control unit for Harford County is under the control of Sheriff Gaylor.
So if you enjoy working with animals, you know, that's another possibility right there.
That is correct. So
And our recruitment efforts, I think we approach recruitment a little different than most agencies. But we also do recruitment for all of our civilian positions, too. So your kids that are listening or just your listeners in general, if they feel like law enforcement or corrections is not for them, I will still encourage them to check out our website because we often have civilian jobs posted as well. And our civilian employees are just as important, if not more important, than our law enforcement side, especially like our records unit. They are the backbone of the agency. Every form in this agency runs through that office, and what they do for us is it's immeasurable. So if someone is interested in being affiliated with law enforcement or in law enforcement but not necessarily want to be an officer or correctional deputy, I would encourage them to look at some of the civilian positions that open up with us.
So it sounds like there's lots of room to get experience too, especially if you're a young person. And one of the things that we always tell our students here at HCC is intern early, intern often. And you have this career, this you have this Explorers program, which gives them a day in the life. So let's say if that interested individual, you know, wants to, you know, start pursuing law enforcement. So it, my next question is, can they do, are they able to ride along with law enforcement? Are they able to shadow, like do job shadowing, internships and externships?
So we do have internships.
Okay.
The internships actually run through the academy, Lieutenant. We have internships in the different areas like our forensic services unit, our digital forensics unit, traffic unit. You can use interns. So certain areas can use interns. There's not really interns for patrol per se. However, if you're in the process or about to go into the process, then you can get the ride along. There's certain criteria that you have to meet in order to be able to do a ride along. I'm not sure if there's ever been any internships at the detention center, but I could see them possibly doing them in the front office area.
Yeah. If they do have an internship at the detention center, it'd probably be more like on a civilian side.
Right.
But like I said, anyone that's interested in working at the Harford County Detention Center can always go to our website. We're one of the fewer agencies that would actually give you a tour of a detention center.
Okay.
Other people have come from other jurisdictions, other detention centers. We're amazed that when they were in the process, they were like, Lieutenant Brooks would be like, contact Sergeant Crespo, and he'll set up a date for a tour. And then we'll accommodate that tour what fits their schedule. So someone might say, hey, I could do Saturday at 2 in the afternoon. All right, I'll meet you at 2 in the afternoon. We'll give you a tour. The tours at the jail are usually about 2 hours because we go in depth. This is what you're actually going to be doing. They're actually going to see the deputies working at a post, and then they're going to understand. And then at the end, it's, do you see yourself doing this? And we have a good turnover rate on that. About mostly all the ones that come through the process get hired.
Wow.
And like I said, you go to another facility, ask for a tour, and they're not going to give you that. So,
Sergeant, if they want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you about, you know, getting a tour of the facility?
So, like I said, if they go to our website,
okay.
HarfordCountySheriff.org.
HarfordSheriff.org.
HarfordSheriff.org. If they go to that website, there's a link that says interests. They could fill that out. We just ask for their name, number, contact information, and then Lieutenant Brooks and then myself would make contact with them. We'll get them to come in. But once again, it's people that are in the process, you know, that want that tour to see. Again, it's the unknown that you're coming into.
Right.
And like Lieutenant Brooks said, it's not what you see in TV. People are amazed about how clean that facility is.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes there are, I guess, those preconceptions, right,
right,
of what like the inside of a facility like that might mm-hmm. look like. Right. But it's not.
Yeah, there's no big... there's no huge cafeteria with guards around the wall and all of the all of our guests eating at you know, long tables. There's not a lot of movement like you see on television. It's really well run, and ladies and gentlemen that work there do a good job of making sure that it continues to run well.
So the movies and TV don't always get it right.
No.
That's what you're saying. Okay. All right.
And there's advancement within the detention center.
Okay.
Because in there, you also have your intel unit, your canine unit, your processing center. So there's ways to move around in there. And then we also do the 287G Homeland Security program with Homeland Security. So there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of ways to advance. You could advance as a supervisor or just work different departments. In that, I have moved around in my career working different departments. So it's very rewarding. You just have to figure out what steps you want to take, where you want to see yourself in about 5 years, 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, and that's within the agency together.
So plenty of room to move around. You can support yourself doing it. You keep the county a safer place, you know. Taking a lot of boxes, if you're listening here on Career Explorers, for working in law enforcement for the Harford County Sheriff's Office. So something I always ask about this time, because you've been in the job, you've been working it for a long time now, and for those that are just maybe considering or coming into the field, what is it that you know about the work now that you would want to share with someone who's just coming in?
So I would say find yourself a mentor, even if that person doesn't realize that they're your mentor. I've had several mentors that didn't realize that they were mentoring me, but I made sure I kind of followed their lead, paid attention to what they were doing, found out what worked for them in their career, what didn't work for them in their career. Things change as the years go on, so their mentorships would look different than what mine looked like. But I would also encourage, once you're in this job, as Sergeant Crespo said, we get a lot of training. And one thing I always encourage the troops that look up to me, so to speak, is don't just take a training to take a training. Take a training that is going to benefit you in this career, but that could also possibly benefit you when it comes time to retire. Huh. So, for example, you know, if you work traffic and you're interested in crash reconstruction, there's three levels to that. Take all three levels if you can, because it's a good chance that, hey, maybe State Farm's looking for a crash investigator around the time that you're retiring.
Okay.
So the agency's paying for you to take this training. You're giving that back to the agency by applying it while you're working here. And then when you're done, it's something you can use to supplement your retirement if need be. So just like the drone unit, the drone world is expanding daily, like overnight. So when those guys in that unit are ready to retire, if we're at the point of drone delivery for Uber Eats or UPS, they have that background. You know, they have the hours on the sticks for the drone to say, hey, I've flown for 5,000 hours for the past however many years, and this is why I'm the best candidate for what you need to do, right? So if it's investigations, when you leave here, you can work in the state investigator's office if there's a position open. So just don't just let the job use you. You have to use the job as well.
There you go.
So don't get something that's only going to work for you while you're here. It can work for you while you're here. You can give back to the agency, but make sure it's going to work for you when you leave if you need it.
Right. Take it with you and apply it
exactly.
While you're there. Exactly. Absolutely.
I just wanted to touch more base like what he said. When I started, like I said, I started late at 32. And I use mentors, people that I seen not only as a deputy, but as a supervisor, as a corporal, a sergeant, a lieutenant, a captain, a major. And you kind of, you don't tell them you're following them. You just observe them. And like Lieutenant Brooks said, what works best for them? How can you apply it? As a supervisor, you want to mentor those deputies that are coming up in the ranks, because eventually we are going to retire. So you want to train them. You want to be just like your mentor, but a step up and say, hey, tell me why you did this. Was it within policy? I want to know why you did it this way. Can we fix it this way? That's how you start bringing them up on the ranks. Of course, you need good leadership. We have a good sheriff, Sheriff Gaylor, and he has a good command staff, you know. Like I said, we're more like a family than an agency, and that's how people see us. And like Lieutenant Brooks said, there's a lot of training, you know.
That's good.
Don't take training because, oh, I have to take it. You know, I studied with Homeland Security immigration law. That's something you could use in a private sector.
Sure.
With attorneys. Hey, how do I get a visa to come in the country? Well, my family lives, you know, in X country. How can I petition to bring them? People don't realize that there's different visas, there's different laws. It's not about just getting people that are here illegally or anything like that. It's their rights, too.
Exactly.
As for that. We have different officers. Like, I speak a different language. So you could use that when you're dealing with the community. You know, someone that doesn't understand, because you have to speak their language.
Absolutely.
You can't just say, hey. But so there's different ways of doing that. We have a lot of people that have taken training, have gotten their master's degree. Some actually work here in the college as professors part-time. So you have to make it work, like he said. Don't let the work job make you work. Work both ways that everyone benefits.
I didn't think of that because especially, I mean, you're dealing with people intensely all day long. I didn't think. There's language barriers for sure that you may come across too. So speaking multiple languages, that could definitely be another life skill
indeed.
That you can apply when you're working for the sheriff's office.
Yes, indeed.
So what does the job outlook look like right now for the sheriff's office? Are we seeing like a need for more sheriffs in 2024 and beyond? Are we on an upward trend? Or
I think that's another uniqueness that we have when it comes to the outlook. We're putting an academy class in Monday. We have an academy class going in on January the 8th. That class is for law enforcement, and it essentially is taking us down to just about zero vacancies.
Wow.
Which is kind of unheard of across the country right now as far as the need for hiring, not just law enforcement, but in just about every sector of the workforce. So for us, the outlook, being optimistic, is that we'll continue to grow. As the county grows, that we'll be able to bring in more deputies, train them, and better serve the county based on the growth of the county. Law enforcement vacancies, I think, are the lowest they've been for a long time as well, which helps make the detention center a safer place for not just the deputies, but for the guests as well. So I think the outlook for the sheriff's office is quite different than law enforcement as a whole. I think that we'll continue to attract quality applicants. I think that we'll be able to continue to put out a quality product for the community based on the fact that we're not trying to spread ourselves thin. We're trying to bring in, you know, as many qualified people as possible to continue to serve the community. My hopes is that we'll continue to give that same product that we're giving now, and that our approval rating will just continue to grow throughout the county. So I think that's the outlook for us, if that answers your question.
It sure does. And I want to thank the both of you for coming on today to Career Explorers and answering so many questions. And my gosh, you can support yourself while making the county a safer place. There's room to move around in the job. You get to work in different departments. You can bring different fields to the work. What's not to like?
Exactly.
I want to thank our special guests today from the Harford County Sheriff's Office, Lieutenant Brooks and Sergeant Crespo, for giving us a look into the day in the life of a law enforcement officer. And that day, if you like variety, is always going to be something different. Does it sound like it's a career for you? Well, then you might just be well on your way to the career of your dreams. Thanks for joining us here today on Career Explorers. Please like and subscribe all of HCC's official podcasts, HCC 360, The Veterans SITREP, and this one, WHFC Presents. Until next time, I'm Matt Terry. Invest in yourself, Harford County.